Hey, Brian, we're getting people registered for the free Football Fest tickets at ESPNFootballFest.com. That sounds like a hell of a time, a big old party surrounding football. And we will get to the Bears before we get out of here at 11. We've got Chris wants to jump in and talk about the Sox in McNabb. No. Oh, yeah, actually, we'll go to Matt this time. Hey, Matt. What's up? You're on with Xander and Hanley.
Hey, Xander Hanley. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Yep.
Hanley, you're a Cubs fan, right?
Yes, sir.
So don't you feel that this rebuild is far worse than where we were in 2011 and 12 when they took over? Because we have, what, one prospect in our farm system, that Pete Crow Armstrong?
Yeah, he's doing just fine, thanks. Yeah.
That's the only prospect that we have in this farm system, in this rebuild. We have, like, I understand when Theo and Jed, when Rizzo and Bryant and Baez turned down the offers, like, I don't understand why they didn't, you know, trade them right away like the Nationals did with Soto to get at least, like, three or four prospects in their system. Because now with Contreras, they held on to him, and now we're going to get, what, a compensatory pick? So this rebuild is, like, 5 or 6 years away, correct, that before we even can kind of compete? Because we have one prospect in our farm system.
Well, I will say this, and thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Matt.
Other Twitter poll question we have,
mm-hmm.
and I knew where it was going to go, but which team in town had currently, as we sit here today, this week, this month, not on paper, not career numbers, has the better starting staff? Okay, and I would make an argument right now. I mean, Dylan Cease is otherworldly, right? I mean, he's up there with Justin Verlander and Alcantara and guys like that. I get it. And he's a Cy Young bona fide candidate. But when you saw what Justin Steele did yesterday, you see what Keegan Thompson's been doing this season. Now, Marcus Stroman coming back from injury has been very, very good. And then the pitcher, they expect it when they signed. So there's three guys. We talked about it last week. The Gordon Whitmire at NBC Sports Chicago advocated the Cubs go out and get Carlos Rodon and sign him up to a long-term deal after this season when he opts out from San Francisco. And now you've got four. Right now you got 1 through 4, and your rebuild just got accelerated. And I get the position players. I get, you know, Davis has had back surgery. Pete Crow Armstrong, the guy who got back in the Chris Bryant deal, is doing just fine, thanks. But we've been talking about the lack of pitching in the Cubs system, and the deal they made Scott Efros for the Yankees. They've got another starter. You might not see him at Wrigley this year, but next year he's going to buy for a starting job.
Mm-hmm.
He was number 8 in the Yankee system. He's the top pitching prospect in the Yankee system and 4 overall, and he slots in 8th for the Cubs. But to the caller's point, Sully had a really good week because he did the Sox media relations admonished him for tweeting out that Tony La Russa wasn't meeting with the media the day after having almost nap time.
Yes,
on Monday night.
Yep.
Yeah, he said because, you know, they don't think he's treated him fairly. The media's not, you know, pointing that stuff out and, you know, give Tony a break. He took Louisville Slugger to Jed Hoyer for this whole thing. They're holding on to Contreras in particular. Happ is still a Cub. They're not going to, you know, they still have, what, one more year of control of Happ, but Contreras is good as gone. And because he is, now you're going to get the compensatory pick that our caller talked about. Because you're going to give him a qualifying offer. He's going to be a free agent. And so did they misplay their hand? Did they think that they had the Padres and they had the Mets and maybe Tampa in on the Contreras sweepstakes? And meanwhile, Wilson is here hitting a home run yesterday to win the game.
Yeah, that makes that hug really, really awkward now, watching that meme.
And the standing ovation yesterday to, you know, welcome back, Wilson. You're not going anywhere. How about this is Sully, right?
You never left us.
Yeah. Number one in your hearts, right? This is Sully writing his column. In other words, the market for one of the best hitting catchers that exist, in spite of the fact that Hoyer had months to find a trade partner, the minute the Washington Nationals put Juan Soto on the trade market was the moment Hoyer should have realized he needed to speed up the process on Contreras. But he misread things, just as he did last year with Chris Bryant. So instead of getting some valuable prospects for Contreras, he will have an unhappy Contreras playing out the string for a bad Cubs team after spending the entire season dealing with the likelihood of being traded. There are no rules that say you have to wait to the deadline to make a move. Maybe Hoyer just likes the drama of the last-minute deal. Either way, he blew it. And the Cubs can only get a draft pick as a compensation for their valuable trade asset or chip should Contreras sign elsewhere in free agency. Some Cub fans may be happy that Contreras remains on the team for the next 2 months, but unless they re-sign him after the season, which they're not going to do, it will go down as one of the biggest blunders of the Hoyer era, no matter how long it lasts.
So, yeah, the caller was saying, are we behind the eight ball compared to the last rebuild? And I would say yes.
Yes.
And you know, you make a great point. I mean, now it makes all the sense in the world to sign Contreras. And they won't.
No, they won't. They're not even talking. Okay. I mean, ship has sailed. And how can two things be true? We'd say it could be true with the Sox hitting and their approach and home runs. But Rick Hahn said that it wasn't a buyer's market, and Jed Hoyer said it wasn't a seller's market. Like Jed Hoyer.
Well, it really depends on who you're trying to sell and what you're looking for, right? If you outprice yourself, then it's not a seller's market because you're asking too much.
But there were a lot of teams found ways to make multiple deals,
yes,
including the Twins and including some other teams, and the Yankees did okay. And
hey, you know, the whole game is to puff out your chest and say you want this much. But at some point, if you need to make that move, you've got to change your expectations. It sounds like that did not happen.
Yeah, and, you know, Jed's sitting there with egg on his face, and God bless Wilson Contreras, and he hit the home run to give him the comeback win yesterday, and that's all great for the 40,000 people who jammed the place yesterday and all that. But the fact of the matter is, you didn't get anything. You got a compensatory pick, and that was not going to be good enough. I know some teams do not view Contreras as a top-tier catcher in terms of how he calls a game and frames pitches and everything else. Mm-hmm. But there's no doubt about the bat when it's on. And there's no doubt about the intangibles, the leadership, and all that stuff.
I was surprised. There were some teams that needed a catcher, and I didn't know why. I didn't understand why he wasn't targeted. But we do now, because they were asking too much.
Apparently. And the Padres were always about Juan Soto, and the fallback position was to do other moves like get Contreras. But once Soto became available and they were able to figure it out, and they did before, you know, they had to get Hosmer to you know, he said thanks, but no thanks, not going to Washington. But they figured it out, got the deal done. And everyone, you know, the White Sox sat on their hands pretty much. And the Cubs made a couple of good moves and didn't make the biggest move.
So. Well, look, the South Side should have made more moves, but I do like the Diekman move.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about a move that that some people are suggesting and makes a lot of sense in terms of, okay, the trade deadline's gone. How do you get that left-handed power or left-handed hitter can hit righties because you don't have enough of that? And Jesse's been talking about that since April. Right. And is there anything you could do now in the next month or so to help your team out?
Well, and we're seeing some DFAs. Jackie Bradley Jr. is not setting the world on fire, but man, defensively, that guy, he can throw at anybody from right field. He got let go from the Red Sox. Defensively, after seeing what Andrew Vaughn did the other day. But we need the bats, too. 312-332-3776. Chris is in McNabb, getting to him now. Where is McNabb, Chris?
So far.
Okay, it's far away. All right, what do you got?
One and only 10 from McNabb.
What do you got, Chris?
I think we lost him.
Apparently,
they need another cell tower out in McNabb.
Yeah, I think that they do. They have to find out where it is. All right, we've got Ron in Aurora.
Hey,
Ron, you're on ESPN 1000.
Gotta go.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Hey. What's up this morning?
See you later. Okay. Hey, I was wondering where Jake Berger's at.
Well, I'll tell you. If you're asking, I'll tell you. He is he's off of the injured list, and he was optioned to AAA Charlotte this past Tuesday. So he's doing a rehab stint.
He's in a rehab stint. Well, we got four guys that can't hit their way out of a paper bag. So, you know, why don't they get him up here?
Are you talking about Moncada's been hit a little better? Is that who you're talking about, one of them?
Moncada's terrible.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ron. Okay. So So this whole thing with Mankata, right? Now, he's not setting the world on fire, but he's slowly getting better, and his defense have never been in question. I mean, it has been, but not really this season, right? Jake Berger's defense has been in question. We haven't seen him in a while. He has been on the injured list, and for a while there, he was a bit hot. Do you really take a Mankata out and put a Jake Berger in at this point? Is that really what you do?
No, you don't. You hope, you know, on Mankata, and he's had, in the last 2-3 weeks, he's certainly had more flashes than we saw for.
That's exactly right. That's my point. That's my point. So, you know, although we have some extreme reactions to some of the things that's happening in the South Side, which is totally understandable. Yeah, you know, there's just some moves you're not going to make. You're not going to take a Tim Anderson and sit him because he's not hitting. You've got to give him the time to find his way back.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's getting on base. He had 16-game stretch where he got on base. He's not, you know, it's just the eye test, right? It's like last night, the last couple games. He go 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. That's not Tim Anderson. That can't be Tim Anderson moving forward, right?
No.
You need. But the fact of the matter is, you know, he's not hitting the ball out of the ballpark, even though he's averaged 16 each of the last 5 seasons. He's still defensively, he'll give you once every 2-3 games, he'll give you the, you know, head scratcher defensive play, thrower, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, God bless him, an all-star, and you say still not the leader of the team or not the leader of the team to the, you know, to this point in the season. There are other guys.
Right.
But you need him, and you need Mankata.
Well, you do.
And
you do.
You need Robert.
And we don't have the assets to just swap out a Tim Anderson or a Mankata, and somebody would do exactly what they could do potentially and even better. We just don't. Those are our starters.
No.
We, you know, instead of saying we have to sit them, they have to come around and play up to potential.
Well,
it's
and
simple
I tweeted,
as that.
I tweeted this out when Rick Hahn, and apparently went down to the clubhouse, and I apologized to the team. He tried hard, couldn't get anything done. And Liam Hendricks said he was surprised personally that they were more active at the trade deadline. And Tony said, well, that's, you know, how we communicate here. Rick wanted to go down there and address the team, and it wasn't lack of trying. It just, you know, basically, we tried, but here you go. You got to go do it. And he said, and I'm okay with that. I said, look, if in his heart of hearts, he doesn't believe this team is going to compete with the Yankees of the world and the Astros of the world in the postseason. I mean, you still want to get there. I wouldn't have been mortgaging a lot of the future, even part of the future, to just win this division. Okay. You should be good enough to win this division, whether he did anything, even if he didn't get Diekman.
Agreed.
But the point is, Al was right. I mean, you could have, the way people wanted starting pitching, you could have listened to calls for Cueto. I mean, look, the Brewers traded Hader, right?
And Josh Hader. And
yeah.
Who knows what that did to that clubhouse?
Exactly.
Wow. But,
I mean, they were looking long-term and decided, maybe they decided they're not going to beat the Dodgers. So they made a deal that's going to pay off in the long run. But when Rick took that extra step and said, we still believe we have championship caliber talent on this roster, okay, I said, you know, save that tripe, because you don't. You're 54 and 52. You have enough talent to win this division, and it's arguably the worst division in baseball. So don't tell me you're on my leg and tell me it's raining. You know, tell me that, okay, we didn't get it done, and I don't expect them to come out and say, and because we didn't make any deals because in our heart of hearts, we don't believe we're a World Series contending team, even though that's what we thought going into the season. But don't make that patronizing statement. But don't worry, we got enough championship talent on this team. You don't. Everyone knows it. That's why you're sitting here 2 games above 500 and can't get 3 games above 500. Hopefully it proved me wrong today. But, I didn't want him giving away the store to add a couple players.
Right. Nor did we want a white flag trade where we get rid of a Cueto who has come cheap to us but has been an absolute asset.
Although I could have made that argument more than going the other way, where just, you know, hell-bent on making deals and trying to win something this year.
Yeah, and I could too. I could too. I'm glad we didn't have to go through that, though.
Right.
312-332-3776. We've got more calls to take, and we'll do that on the other side of the break here. It's ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
This is Sander and Hanley on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Watch us on Twitch anytime you would like. Twitch.tv/ESPN 1000. Chicago, Brian, going to line one. This is Alex. And Schaumburg wants to talk about Yoan Moncada, our third baseman on the south side. Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's happening, guys? I just want to say, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot wrong with Moncada. I just think that, there's a whole lot wrong with the coaching staff right now in situational hitting. If you go back to the first game of the Texas series and Moncada's at the plate, there's two outs, base is loaded. What's he doing swinging at the first pitch?
Agreed. Agreed.
After the guy in front of him just got walked, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally agreed.
You got the rookie ball pitcher up there throwing all over the place. Who's managing him? Who's, you know, on winning teams? I see Astro, you know, Dusty Baker sitting there giving signs to guys.
Yeah.
We're not playing any small ball here. I know there's two outs, but I mean, what are you doing going after the first pitch and field five pop up?
Yep, you're right, Alex.
And that's the problem with this team that I've seen all year is that. Is Tony really managing here?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Alex, you say that. And we've heard that the White Sox are a free-swinging team. Okay, great. How about coaching them and saying, stop doing this?
Right. I watch Ozzy every day.
It's a choice that they've given them.
Yesterday.
Dr. Ozzy. That was great. Yeah.
I mean, I thought that segment was fantastic.
It was really great.
Chuck laying down on the couch. Yeah, close up.
At the end of the day, you had Ozzy and Ron Gardenhire going at it with the Twins. It's the same kind of deal, man. Mm-hmm. You got the Piranhas over there, right? And so why not hit these Punch and Judy teams with the same kind of medicine, get these guys in situations, act like you're doing something. I was shocked to see, Eloy and Luis go off on a 3-2 count yesterday. I mean, we end up winning the game 2-1, but I mean, I think somebody said it last week on your station, you're liable to have a stroke watching these games, no matter if it's the Yankees, the Astros, Texas, Kansas City.
Yep.
I mean, we're sitting here going back and forth, treading water when we should be 10 games up right now, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think that lies on the front office and the manager, because you're going to take the face of the team. And also, as much as I love Abreu and all these guys on this, the world of talent there, I think we have it to win the division, but your manager's got to be the face of the team right now.
Thank you, Alex. Well said. I agree. You know what? The whole freeze swing thing, you could put a stop to that by saying, we're going to coach you hard now. You're going to watch for signs and, you know, no more, you know, if we give you the green light, fine, but quit, you know, if it's a pitcher that if you see a fastball and you know that they're just lights out with their slider and you see a fastball first pitch, go ahead and take a swing. But if it's your pitch, and we don't know if that's happening, but I do agree with what Alex said that night, Moncada swinging at the first pitch with bases loaded. And I remember that happening going, what? And this is the exact case of lack of discipline.
That always frosts me, Mark, when a guy gets, especially as a rookie pitcher gets himself in trouble and just walks somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get he's
and you know the pressure on them is immense.
Right. And I get he's trying to get that first pitch in for a strike, and I'm still taking it because I just saw him not get the pitches in for a strike, and he's got the bases juiced, and like I said, now the pressure's on.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe there's a wild pitch coming. Who knows, right? But I
or you take him deep into the count, and the wheels become really, you know, they start wobbling. Right, it's lack of discipline, and it just, as I said, the whole free swing concept, it always confused me, because it's like, if that's the case, the coaching staff, they're free swingers. No, here's an idea. Do your job and tell them to stop doing that, and let's start getting signs to these players. Let's not just give them a sign, don't swing at 3-0.
Here's a
guide them.
Yeah, and speaking, you know, what you can do moving forward, because we're going to get back to the calls here in a second, but Tim Moran of Sox on 35th, you can follow him at Sox on 35th on Twitter. wrote a nice little column, a little piece, and a great suggestion. You know, now that the trade deadline's gone and Rick said, sorry, but we tried, but we didn't get any bats. We didn't, you know, we got a pitcher. God bless Diekman. But Michael Conforto is out there, and he's coming back from shoulder surgery in April. He's not going to be ready probably till September. If you had signed him before the trade deadline, you would have had a compensatory pick attached to him. So obviously deadline's come and gone. And you don't have that pick attached to him. So there are a lot of teams looking at him now in his rehab. He is represented by Scott Boras. But, you know, Tim suggests that the White Sox should be looking at him. And here's a guy who can, you know, only 29, and if he's healthy – he's going to hit some home runs. He's going to give you some power.
You know, that would be a Rick Hahn type of move, right?
Yeah, and why not, right? I mean,
why not? You're right.
You know, he'll come. You have to give him some money, but certainly be coming off the injury. It depends how many teams are in on him, and you may pay a little bit more than you want to for a rental player here. But moving forward, but if he works out, if you were to sign him and he does work out, here's a guy that, you know, is what you're looking for, a guy who can hit righties from the left side, and he can hit the home runs that people don't think are important, and he can play outfield, right? Yep. So if things are good to go, but that's something I'm sure the White Sox have their eyes on him, as do other teams, and I think it was a great suggestion by Tim Moran on the at Sox on 35th Twitter feed. So,
yep.
You know, there's a suggestion that Tim's right on, spot on.
Right. And there are some others that have been DFA'd too, and probably not a better choice than Conforto. But there, as I mentioned, Jackie Bradley Jr., again, that's more of a defensive situation. We need bats. But, you know, there are options past the trade deadline. Bear fan Bob, our old buddy from Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, jumping on here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Bob.
Boys, good morning.
Good morning.
Also a huge White Sox fan, as y'all know.
Yep.
You know, Moncada, Grandel, Anderson, and Garcia can't give outs away fast enough. And especially Moncada and Anderson. I never seen more stupid in my life. Moncada, okay, he's got a few hits against bad teams in 2 weeks. Wow, I'm going to throw a parade over that. You know what? Please, go away, get me Berger up here as soon as he's healed, and let's move on from this clown. Anderson.
Hey, Bob, there's anger there, and I think you need you live up on the other side of the cheddar curtain. I think you need to go to the Piggly Wiggly and get some of that Aaron Rodgers tea and just calm and settle down.
Yeah, I heard
or
that.
Or some cow. So, get some cow. get yourself some new glare spotted cow. It's always a good choice.
So, yeah, well, long story short, and then you watch Anderson. You know, the way he treated that umpire a few games ago, and then a few games later, I watch him stealing third for no reason, getting thrown out, two pass balls, you know, hitting into double plays. I just don't get it. Garcia, why this guy is out here, I don't know.
Well, we haven't seen him for a couple of games, and that's good.
Okay.
And I can't wait to see today's lineup. Hopefully he may play.
You know, we should be playing Sheets, Engel, and Berger more often, because the more they play, the better they get.
Berger's hurt. You know, Berger's hurt at this point.
I understand that. You know, we need a backup third baseman like Moncada. Yep. I get all that part. You know, so anyways, those are my thoughts, and I had to vent a little bit. Now I feel better.
Good.
Thanks, Bob.
Hey, Bob, before you leave, I've got a question for you. You're Bear fan,
sir.
Bob, for a reason. Tell me
sir.
The name of the Chicago Bears mascot.
Staley.
Yeah.
No, the full name.
Oh, boy.
Oh. I don't know that one. I just always knew him as Staley.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's part of it. We'll talk about that when we come back. I didn't know
Staley.
About it. I saw it, and I'm like, I didn't really know the full name of the mascot.
Thanks.
Thank you, Bob.
Have a good day now, huh?
Yeah, go catch some fish.
Bye-bye.
He has a legal name, Mark? He has
a legal name, yes.
Like if he were arrested? Then
yes,
would
it would be on yes. Yes,
Staley,
there's a full name.
Mark Bryan or
no, no, name? Well, no, it's not. It's more of a mascot name. It's not like Staley B. Smith, you know. It's more of a mascot type name. But we'll get to that when we come back. We're back in just a few minutes. We'll talk Bears because there's plenty to talk about here on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Xander and Hanley on ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah, he's going to get thrown right into the mix of this competition at the tackles, too. I mean, this is an open right-left whatever. We're trying to find the five, the best five, you know. So when he gets back, he's someone who's, you know, super talented that should jump in there, and hopefully he takes advantage of the opportunities he's going to get.
Is there a role he can work on outside of that? If those spots become solidified, then Tevin would be vying for what?
No, I mean, he should be vying for a starting spot right now. I mean, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now, we can have that conversation. But he should be doing everything he can to own one of those two spots. There's no question about that.
That is Luke Getsy on Tevin Jenkins, as reported on Twitter by Brad Biggs this morning. Tevin Jenkins is back on the practice field this morning, today, for the first time since the first day of camp. Bears are in full pads. And they've been getting a workout, as I understand. Brian, are you surprised by this? Did he have a come to Jesus meeting, and all of a sudden he's like, "Okay."
I think, and let's, you know, rewind. So this is going to be his second practice since he's been with the Bears in training camp in 2 years. So this will be his second time he's on the field in a training camp since he became a Chicago Bear, and
that's crazy.
Luke Getsy. It's crazy. I mean, Luke Getsy's right. He should be competing for a starting spot. But the smoke around Tevin Jenkins is unbelievable. And here's a guy that Ryan Pace dealt a second and third round pick to move up to get him in the second round, right?
And treated him like a big
left tackle.
Yeah, right, right. And treated him like this big special pick.
Right. That you know, Ryan, he reportedly was maybe the only GM in the league that envisioned him.
The steal of the draft.
Well, he didn't play left tackle in college, but Ryan Pace said, "Watch me. He's a left tackle, right. Starting left tackle." Right. Well, he had his back surgery because guess what? He had a back injury when you drafted him, and they said, "Oh, different
surgery."
Yeah,
straight out of draft.
So, you know, not the start anyone would have hoped for. Then they, in the spring, he's on the right side. And soon enough, he's the backup right tackle, not even the starting right tackle. And you've got a fifth-round pick in front of him, actually vying for that starting spot that Luke Getsy said he should be starting for. So the come-to-Jesus meeting, Mark, I think is NFL Network reported that Bears had been talking to teams about trading Tevin Jenkins. And again, you're not getting back what you gave up to move up to get him. Mm. You might get a fifth, sixth, seventh-round pick.
Right.
If he gave up on Tevin Jenkins now, so maybe they're like, well, we can get that anytime. Let's see. You know, there are people saying that this new coaching staff and regime and polls are disappointed in his conditioning. They sometimes question his football IQ. There are all sorts of theories thrown out there as to why they've soured so quickly on him. And Tevin Jenkins said the other day, "Don't believe everything you read, I'm fine." Well, he's not fine in terms of what you expect.
It's not for you to decide if you're fine. It's for your employers to decide if you're fine.
Right. But and again, these employers, the people you're working for now, didn't select you and didn't give up draft capital to move up to get you and didn't maybe, you know, put you the square peg in the round hole. And here you are. So I think they're just trying to get him back on the field, maybe get him in shape, maybe utilize him or get some film on him so then they can start making the phone calls. And, you know, now that Ryan Pace is like the seventh in command in Atlanta, I hope they have the Falcons on speed dial and he can brainwash the people down there into thinking this guy's something.
Right. You've got to convince the new regime and you've got to work a lot harder because Tevin Jenkins had the attention of the previous regime because they picked him. They thought that they were going to make something of nothing. Nobody else really seemed interested. Now all of a sudden you're working for new people and they're like, you are not close to what we need.
I mean, their team's interested in selecting him. Now, maybe you didn't have to move up. He might have still been there, but you know, Ryan Pace gets itchy.
Well, not at that point.
No, but no one envisioned him as a left tackle. They envisioned him on the right side because that's what he was doing. Mm. Of the 27 offensive linemen drafted in the first four rounds in 2021, you know how many have appeared in fewer games than Tevin Jenkins? And he's appeared in, what, six, right?
Yes. And more games than practices.
Only one of those 27 offensive linemen across one through five, centers everybody, First four rounds, not even the first two rounds.
Right. Unbelievable.
Only one.
Unbelievable.
I mean, you know, he had 161 snaps so far. You know, Larry Borum has four times as many snaps so far last season. So it went off the rails. It went off the rails quickly. And then Tevin Jenkins, look, if Nagy and Pace are still here, he's got a lot more rope and a lot more leash.
Well, that was my point. Exactly right. Yeah, he doesn't have to work as hard to get into their plans.
Right. Because they got to make sure it works and say, see why we moved up? This guy's the deal. He's the goods. Mm-hmm. Now, he may be, look, and I feel bad for the kid because no one wishes back surgery on a kid, a back injury and then back surgery right away. And, you know, they selected him where they did. So what comes with that kind of high expectation? They put that on him, right?
Yep.
And the body didn't cooperate and the injury didn't cooperate. And then since then, it's been a train wreck. And now you have everyone questioning mindset, football ability, availability, conditioning. And I mean, I don't know enough of the kid, and we certainly haven't seen enough of the kid to know if he's a keeper in this league in any position, starter or backup.
So do you think that they are merely trying to get him more work to get him on film to still trade him? Or is this a change of heart and a real chance to earn a starting job?
I think they heard what they heard on those trade conversations. And it's like, well, we're not desperate for a sixth or seventh round pick right now. Maybe the light bulb goes on. Maybe he gets the message. Maybe he gets in better shape. If any of those things are issues with this regime, maybe I'm sure it's been communicated to him of what he needs to do. So if he can go ahead and do it and make something of himself, yeah, there's no film on him, really. I mean, 161 snaps coming off of back surgery. Yeah, he's not going to start on this team. I mean, not at the beginning of the season. And you just heard Luke Getsy. Well, maybe in 3 weeks we can talk about where he fits in if he's not a starter. Mm-hmm. They went out and got a couple of veteran guys because they were thin on the offensive line, in part because of this Tevin Jenkins situation. So he's vying for a backup right tackle spot. And I don't know if the next move is, well, let's try him at guard. I mean, and after that, the next move is we'll take the seventh round pick if someone's offering him.
312-332-3776. This is audio from Wednesday. Eberflus on the absence of Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah, Tevin's in that group where, you know, he's working with the trainers, and he'll be back when he's back.
Has he been here this week?
To work with the trainers. Yeah, he's in the building, sure.
When does that become more than a day-to-day thing?
When it does. You know, so when they tell me, hey, this is more than a day-to-day situation, then I will inform you of that, because that's what our policy is, you know, during this time of year.
His absence is 100% injury related.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that leads us to today, mm-hmm. which he is mm-hmm. on the practice field in full pads.
Yep.
So we'll see where it goes from here. Very interesting storyline.
Coach speak, too. I love that.
Yeah. Because it is. Yeah, I would much rather hear that, Brian, than what we heard from Nagy.
Oh, no.
Because he would say, because it is, but he would say it in this roundabout, very nice, I'm not going to get to the point until I'm done talking 300 words in.
Well, not only that, Matt Nagy would have had Tevin Jenkins' Hall of Fame induction speech half written. I mean, he'd tell you what a wonderful...
He's a great kid.
Oh,
I love his family, his mom. She's a great cook.
And then everything we thought when we drafted him, you know, it's right there. We just got to get him on the field, and you'll see. I mean, Matt Eberflus is keeping it short and curt, and because he knows where this is headed.
Yep.
Unless Tevin Jenkins completely surprises everybody and becomes something right now they don't believe he is.
Which is not likely. All right, so the Bears mascot name. Full name. You want to know it? And
yes,
this is a legal name on its driver's license.
Like
I'm not
Clark?
Sure if it could drive with those paws, but on the driver's license.
Now, Benny has his own truck, right? His own Benny the Bull mobile. I think he drives in full regalia. Now, Clark No Pants, is that the full name for the Cubs mascot?
I think that's the middle name.
Okay. So Staley, who's been around forever, right?
Yeah.
Is he the third or the fourth? Is he line of Staley's?
His name originates back to A.E. Staley, who founded the Bears franchise in 1919. Now, how many, what version this is, What redesign this is, I don't know. But his middle name is Duh. His last name is Bear.
Oh, boy.
Staley Duh Bear. So don't say Staley. It's just not Staley. It's Staley Duh Bear.
Okay, but that didn't start in 1919. The Duh Bear had just been added.
Yeah, it probably was.
It was Saturday Night Live,
right? Yeah, sure. I'm sure. I'm sure.
Staley Duh Bear.
Staley Duh Bear.
D-A.
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 Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, what's the guy with the bear head in the face paint who is from, I think, actually Indiana, who's been going to games forever?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, his middle name is Duh, too.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. All right, so we're coming back. We'll wrap things up. We've got a couple of Twitter polls to wrap up nicely, and we'll talk about what we're up to tomorrow. Peggy and Dion coming up at 11 a.m. here on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
All right, just about to wrap things up here on a Saturday morning. Peggy and Dion on deck. They're up at 11. It's Xander and Hanley, and Brian, we've got Michael Kopech on the mound today. 4-7 record, 3.12 ERA. Taking on Dane Dunning, a guy who obviously the White Sox had. And I remember, I'm not going to mention who the name is, Fred, that said, ooh, Dane Dunning is the guy to keep. Get rid of that ceased guy.
Oh, boy. But here's
Fred's not here to defend himself.
No, he just drove off the road.
Did I say that?
He's on his way to a brewery. God bless him.
No. He wakes up at a brewery.
I live vicariously through him because every time he tweets something, he's got a nice cold pint.
And he's somewhere else. He literally is on tour. Yeah. Yeah. He literally is on beer tour.
And check out his podcast, too. Brews and Hubes and Brews and Views. And here's something that scared me because you mentioned Kopech against Dunning, right? And the White Sox, I don't want to infringe on the odds couple's turf here. White Sox are a minus 120 favorite today against Texas, right? With Kopech versus Dunning. 67% of the money line wagers so far are squarely on the White Sox. Why are they only minus 120? I get they're on the road. I get that they're only two games over 500, but they have won 15 of their last 24, and Texas should be a team. I mean, Kopech versus Dunning should be a matchup that I would think would be minus 135, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. Dunning's 1-6.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
4.3.
Kopech doesn't have a winning record, but it's 3.4 ERA, somewhere in there. That scares me that 67% are on the White Sox, yet they're only minus 120. So some big money bets are on the Texas Rangers, I would imagine.
I don't get that. But you know what? Michael Kopech, he's had his issues. And again, just like Giolito, you know, fighting through those issues a la Cueto style and having your offense show up. Hitting a home run maybe, Brian?
I know.
I'm starting trouble.
You're stirring the pot.
I'm starting trouble at the end of the show. We're going to load up the phones for Peggy and Dion, people saying, home runs don't matter.
Will this be the first time, assuming Michael can get the job done today, 67% believe he will. Will this be the first three games over 500, or did they do that a week or so ago? I know they've been two over, and every time they have a chance to go to
I think this would be the first time.
Wow.
I know. Bite your tongue. Don't say that out loud.
Wow.
Okay. I know. It's been that year. And yes, we all have mini strokes watching this team.
Well, Frank Thomas called the death by 1,000 paper cuts.
Yeah, I know. And he's not wrong.
He's going to be on Dr. Ozzie's couch there trying to.
There are a line of people. There are a line of people that need to lay on that couch.
Don't put Tony on that couch. She'll be sleeping for 14 hours. Don't start it.
It's the
cameraman's fault.
Yeah, it is. Now it's your fault, too, to draw attention to that.
Mean spirit.
How dare you? We'd all fall asleep if we were laying on that couch.
No doubt. That's a pretty nice set. I mean, I'll tell you what, that looks comfy.
That yellow pillow looked very comfortable for Chuck yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was funny to actually see the shot of Chuck, the host, laying full on a couch from head to toe. That show is really funny, and I love that they're having fun, and they just keep pushing the envelope. It sometimes is a better watch than the actual game.
We don't get to see all the pre and post games around the country. I can't imagine anything comes close to touching how great that is. But
you're right.
The brutal honesty, the personalities, Chuck is the heartbeat of fans everywhere.
Salty Chuck.
I mean, and when I'm watching Marquee, it's like they have analysts in the post game, and they're like, was he on the Cubs for like 2 months? I mean, they've gone through like the big blue book of past Cub players, and right. Everyone gets a chance to come into Chicago. But I mean, Frank and Scotty Pods, and certainly Ozzie is the star.
They're all memorable White Sox players, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a terrific, and the chemistry, and it's just all.
I mean, God bless Ron Karkovice, but that's not who we're dealing with here.
No. No. That's, and like I said, I turn on Marquee, I'm like, okay, I think I remember him having that back.
You know what? I don't get the Marquee channel, and I'm okay with it.
Oh, boy.
All right, so ESPN 1000 on Twitter, a couple polls to wrap up. Let's start with this one. Which team has the best starting rotation currently? Now, Brian will make a pitch for the Cubs. Go ahead now. You have 10 seconds.
I'm just talking. Currently in form, and we don't have Dylan Cease. We did, but we don't now. You're welcome.
Let go of it.
Okay, I can't. But with Stroman and Justin Steele and Keegan Thompson, that's a pretty good three starters to build upon in the last 2 weeks. Well, Keegan's been doing it all year, so is Justin. But Stroman's back. I'm encouraged. If you add to that rotation in the offseason, you can move this thing up considerably.
Okay, but I believe the poll said currently. So
right.
lots of potential, but currently, how's it shake out there, Jake Cantu?
Yeah, Twitter didn't agree with you, Ryan, at all.
I know.
Sox, 83%.
83!
Okay, well, wait till, okay, and Lance Lynn.
So next week, we'll put potential down.
Lance Lynn's got his sea legs back.
Yes.
You know, the first five after the after coming back, not so much.
That's
Giolito,
okay.
Giolito, one good, two good, couple a little shaky. We'll see.
Cueto is the man.
Cueto,
this dude,
I think about that.
I just, he can, just, there's nothing he can't do. He can pitch through a hurricane.
If
and still
Johnny
the
Cueto,
game.
The minor league contract guy, has been Mr. Consistency short of Dylan Cease. He's number two, not even close in the team picture, but he just gives you that veteran guy.
That is a great idea for a poll that we will have tomorrow on the show. All right, another one to wrap up for today. How many White Sox will hit 20-plus home runs this season?
Oops.
Zero, one, two, three or more. Jake, what's it look like?
One is taking it all, 44%, and then two slightly behind at 30.
All right, so we're figuring that Abreu is going to get there, but nobody else will.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. Eloy's looking good. He's putting the bat on the ball at some point. Maybe he'll catch fire and put up a bunch. It's going to be a long way for him. I only think he has three or four, right?
Yeah. Right
so,
now,
so Robert has a better chance of doing that, but that would entail a hot streak as well from him. So we'll see. All right, Brian Hanley, it has been a slice. We'll do this again tomorrow. We'll have more Bears talk, and we'll talk about what happened on today's
10 a.m. You
know, yeah, and White Sox Weekly on at 3:30 today, and we're on for 3 hours tomorrow. So a lot of ground to cover. Peggy and Dion coming up next at 11 a.m. Go White Sox. For Brian Hanley and Jake Cantu, I am Mark Zander here on ESPN 1000.